Coming up on show 1123, New York City effectively rules against electric taxis, but it's not quite as simple as that. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the show today, we have a look at VW's sales of EVs in China. The MG Marvel R comes to Europe, and more jobs being created with electric postal trucks in the US. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. For Thursday, 24th of June, my name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Bit of a schoolboy error, I'm afraid, on this one. Can you hear that noise in the background? That fan going? It's not the air conditioning, which I've mentioned before. If I just shut up, you can hear it. Yeah, that's the fan, two fans on the inverter. So I've put solar in at the bottom of the garden, a little off-grid solar system to power the studio. And I'm going to talk about it when I'm all ready to talk about it and I've got my thoughts together. I've installed it myself, I've learned how to do it, I've taken advice, and also I got two panels at the moment and some battery storage, little hybrid inverter. And so yes, this whole podcast is being powered by the sun today, but rather a lot of sun. So I'm generating 400 watts, therefore the fans have kicked in. And that's not a very good thing for a recording studio. Yeah, I didn't realise there were fans on the inverter. I need to move it either. Well, I can't really put it outside this building. I mean, I've got a summer house next to me. I could put it in that, I guess. But mainly, I think I'll put it on a different wall away from the microphone and I'll box it in, ensuring airflow. And then at least I can close the door on it when I do a recording for 10 minutes and then open the door. Oh, I don't know. I'm so sorry. I'll tell you about it when I've sorted it all out. But yes, this podcast now powered by the sun, I'm very happy to say. We'll start with news about Tesla's Model 3 coming top of a new index, the Cars.com American Made Index. The Model 3 reaching the number one spot for the first time, and the first all-electric car to reach the top spot in the 16-year history of the annual survey results released yesterday, ranks new vehicles that contribute most to the US economy, based on factory jobs, manufacturing plants, and sourcing of parts, according to Cars.com. Well, USAtoday.com write that this shows that despite the ongoing semiconductor shortage and general lack of vehicle inventory, consumer demand remains high for American-made vehicles, and especially for Teslas. Research done by Cars.com shows 72% of shoppers consider the US economic impact an important deciding factor on their vehicle purchase. And I don't know whether you think that's a very high number or not high enough. Plenty of people do think about where their cars and their goods come from. Hey, plenty of people don't. They go on Amazon, they click buy, it turns up the next day. They've got no thought process, I don't, about where did it come from, where was it made. I just want that widget, that thing that solves a problem in my life. Amazon turn up, next day, it's all sorted. But yeah, a lot of people need to think more about where generally they source their goods, their food, trying to keep it local. We certainly have our milk bottles that are recyclable in glass bottles. We put them out on the doorstep each night and we get milk delivered by an electric milk float. So we're doing little bits, but this is great that people are bearing in mind cars being made in the US. And the Tesla Model 3 coming top of this new ranking. I'll put a link to USA Today in the show notes. Next, a story, headline story today, about New York City vowing to block new licenses for electric cars. New York City's Taxi and Limousine Commission, the TLC, voted to block the issuance of new licenses for EVs. The move was widely perceived as a snub to Tesla and a snub to a company called Revel, who had wanted to launch a fleet of 50 Model Ys to ferry people around New York City in clean, green transport without poisoning the air. Now, Revel, best known for their electric mopeds, and they were going to launch a new ride-hailing service. But the commission says they can't do that because there was if you want to call it a loophole, but there was certainly an exemption. A license could be granted for electric vehicles outside of the usual system of limiting how many people can operate a taxi in New York City. The cap was originally enacted to stop Uber and Lyft just flooding the streets because they were, I guess, a kind of a protectionism rule around the existing taxi drivers. Think of that what you will. On Tuesday, though, they voted 5-1 to remove the EV exemption, which effectively cuts off Revel, cuts off Tesla. It's a real shame. It's a real shame. You know, cities talk about cleaning up the air, providing a better environment for our kids and future generations, and also for current generations suffering awfully from bad air quality, contributing to big medical bills and general poor health. And yet, you know, a city's regulators can't control everything. And in this case, it's the taxi commission that are saying, no EVs to you. I guarantee you, this story has more legs to run. I'm sure somebody further up somewhere is going to say, hey, look, we need to look at this system. So the minute you turn against renewables, if you turn against EVs, I know it seems like, you know, in the short term, you're doing the right thing to protect your drivers, your whatever, etc. But there is such a momentum towards a better future, certainly from the very top of government in most countries now, that if you are anti that, you are eventually going to lose. We'll wait and see where this one goes. You can still own one of the... Are they called medallions? Am I thinking of the right thing in New York City? That kind of in the parlance of what you're allowed to operate a taxi. You can still have one in a gas vehicle and transfer it to an EV if you so choose. That's why there is a monetary value on these licenses. Next, we'll talk about VW's EV sales in China. And they haven't got off to the start they wanted to, but VW China say, we know we're going to head in the right direction. In May, they sold 1,213 of their ID4s. And there's, bear in mind, there's two ID4s as well. There's the Cross and the ID4X. One of them made by a joint venture with FAW. One of them made by a joint venture with SAIC. So two different VW companies, but both hoping to sell 50,000 to 60,000 of each one this year. And yet in May, 1,200 combined. VW say, hey, it's a slow start, but we're going to grow. A separate venture between the two bits of VW was essential, as that's the way that they do business in China. By comparison, Tesla sold 6,500 of their Model Ys in China in the first 2 months after the launch. The ID4 sales performance in China contrasts sharply with Europe, where it's doing great guns. Here in Europe, selling tons of copies, 12,101 sold in just the first 2 months after the ID4 launched, and there's only one version of the ID4 over here. And I wonder in China, so we've had on the podcast a couple of times, WM Motor have come on and talked a little bit about the Chinese market, and I always want to try and understand different markets around the world. Now, Rupert Mitchell from WM Weltmeister is probably due his third appearance to update us on the Chinese market, and he has talked before about how China's buyers want smart cars, connected cars, high-tech cars, self-driving cars, lots of connection with voice assistants and your home digital life. And the VW ID4 is a great EV, if this makes sense. It's a great electric vehicle, but it's not particularly one that is good at autonomous driving. It hasn't got all the flashy toys of, you know, parking itself and then coming out of a parking space to come and greet you, you know, half a mile away. And it's not super duper connected in the way that some of the Chinese cars are. So I can see why a Chinese buyer, first, he would like Tesla, would like, you know, BMW's aspirational, so Tesla, but also the domestic brands are really high tech, and that's what Chinese buyers want, which is interesting because the ID4 was proven a very, very solid EV in the US, in Europe, selling very well here. So interesting how different people around the world see things differently, isn't it? Let's talk about a Chinese car coming to Europe. MG, owned by SAIC, the Marvel R, is arriving in Europe. Now available to pre-order for my European listeners, or rather my EU listeners, because we are European in the UK, but we can't buy that car yet. It's arriving in EU MG stores in autumn. The list prices for the Marvel R are between 40 and 50,000 euros, available in all-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive, writes electrive.com. It's a large SUV, 4.67 metres long, wheelbase of 2.8 metres. It's quick as well, 0 to 62 miles an hour, that's 0 to 100 kph, 4.9 seconds, that's rapid. Top speed, 200 kph. Now, buyers can choose between two powertrains, either a tri-motor, which is, you know, three motors, all-wheel drive, 212 kilowatts of power, and 370 kilometers WLTP, or a rear-wheel drive version, but two motors on the rear axle, 132 kilowatts of power, 402 kilometers, so more efficient, both versions, though the same battery, 70 kilowatt hours. It's got vehicle to load, according to this article. Now, that's interesting because, you know, there's no definition for vehicle to load. So the new Hyundais and Kias with the 800-volt system, etc., you can literally plug your house into those. They'll pull between 3 and 4 kilowatts with 230 volt here. And what do they mean by that? You know, because if it means, well, you can plug something into the cigarette lighter, which, you know, you could take 120 watts out of that and you know, power a 65-watt laptop charger and your mobile phone at the same time. Like, that's not vehicle to load. So we need to find out the number for that before we start just saying, hey, it's got V2L, and you can plug your house into the new MG. We'll wait and see. Also, you know, they do say you can plug in air pumps and scooters and laptops to the car to power them. Well, you can at the minute with all cars from the cigarette lighter, from the 12-volt. So, let's wait and see what that really means. If it's, you know, 2-3 kilowatts, 2-3-4-5, you know, the Hummer, not the Hummer, the Ford F-150, that's like 7 or 9, isn't it, kilowatts? That's proper power coming out of the EV. That's great. Next, we'll talk Lucid, and the Air is doing very well with reservations. 10,000 of them, actually, and they're very happy with that number, growing all the time, according to Lucid. The CEO, Peter Rawlinson, said, "We achieved a landmark last Friday when we started building our quality validation production run of the Lucid Air. We completed our pre-production run very successfully. The quality validation builds are the cars that we eventually will sell directly to customers when the quality is right. It's a big step in our mission to industrialize," says Peter Rawlinson. Well, in line with the goal, writes techtimes.com, he hopes the Air's Dream Edition will come out in the second half of the year, meant to be in the first half of the year, but it's been delayed, and they're only going to make 500 units of the very first Dream Edition. I'll pop a link to Tech Times in the show notes if you'd like to read more. All right, coming up on the podcast soon, we'll talk about Europe's investment in gigafactories and new jobs coming thanks to EV postal services in the US. Okay, we just took a short break, and in that time, the fans turned off. So, please, pray silence for this next story about Rivian. And their plant employment is topping 1,900 people, almost 2,000 people now. Rivian has hired 1,000 people in the last 4 months alone at its plant in Normal, says a spokesperson, Zach Dietermeyer, saying the total number of workers at Rivian is now 1,900 people. And hiring continues. He says, by the end of the year, we will be somewhere in the neighbourhood of 2,500 employees on the site. Full projections at the Normal production facility is somewhere in the neighbourhood of 3,000 to 4,000 people by the end of next year. Now, new vehicles will roll off the line next month as Rivian starts production of the R1T pickup. I'll pop a link to WGLT.org, the website I found this story. It's great to see some positive news around a startup like Rivian employing more people, which is great for local jobs and great for the EV industry. Well, over the last few days, I've kind of given you piecemeal stories about gigafactories in Europe. We've been talking about in Spain and Northvolt in Sweden, working with Volvo Polestar to make their own cells. And so I thought I'd try and find a way to wrap all this up. And I found a great little article on thenextweb.com, which nicely summarised the current state of play in terms of cell production. And as of last month, in May, 38 cell gigafactories are either being built at the moment or planned in Europe and the UK, or I should say the EU and the UK, as we are part of Europe, according to the latest report by the non-government organisation TNE, Transport and Environment. Out of the 38, 17 have secured funding so far, estimated to be around $30 billion US dollars equivalent between them. Now, that amount consists of both private and public funding, including, for instance, Tesla's gigafactory in Berlin, which had $1.4 billion worth of German federal and state support. The Germans were very, very keen to get Tesla there and have given them a huge package to move to Germany. 10 other projects have secured partial financing and support, making up at least $16.8 billion in potential investments. These include numerous national projects, notably Verkor in France, British Volt here in the UK, Italvolt in Italy. There's Spain, there's Norway. In addition, 11 more gigafactories have been announced but lack firm commitments regarding location, capacity and investment, says the Next Web. Now, if all 38 gigafactories come through, that will be 462 gigawatt hours worth of battery cells in 2025. That is a mega number. Well, it's a giga number. Sorry. And actually, if you look towards the end of the decade, if you look at the roadmap of cell gigafactories in Europe, 1,144 gigawatt hours of annual production every single year from 2030 onwards, 13 times higher than the current supply, which is, it's 87 gigawatt hours a year in 2021. According to Transport and Environment's analysis, this would give Europe a fifth of the global cell production, and it would put us second to China. And people wonder why the Biden administration has been pretty much non-stop talking about supply chain, cell production, raw material acquisition. The people who think about this for a living and do the real, you know, zoom out and look at the big picture, they can see that if the US doesn't have an equally ambitious roadmap, they'll be left behind. This is not the work of a moment. This is a 10 and, you know, 20 year, etc. plan. So that's why. But a nice little summary of how much is happening here in Europe, which is good news, because although it's a big picture story, at the end of the day, every single one of those cells ends up in either an electric vehicle or storage. Great for the cars we drive, great for storing green energy. Next, we'll talk about 1,000 new jobs coming to the US at Spartanburg, the Oshkosh vehicle plant, a Wisconsin company investing $155 million and creating 1,000 jobs in Spartanburg County to manufacture the next generation of vehicles for the US Postal Service. Their name is Oshkosh Defense, and they are located in the Flatwood Industrial Park to make zero emissions EVs and fuel efficient, low emission combustion vehicles as part of the contract which they won, says thestate.com, local website. The vehicles will be the first large-scale purchase by the Postal Service in 30 years. Now, the contract called for 50,000 to 165,000 vehicles over a 10-year period. Oshkosh was selected in a competitive process which began back in 2015, the likes of Workhorse being particularly upset about that award. Oshkosh, of course, a defence company, very close links to certain parts of government, and Workhorse taking that certainly further and an appealing, and I think there's even a legal challenge been put in now to justify them getting no part of it, but we'll watch that one. Okay, moving on. A new study finding EV charge automation is helpful to reduce the carbon impact. A new study from Sense and Singularity Energy has demonstrated the significant carbon reductions for EV charging using a combination of smart home automation and location and time-based carbon emissions data. We talk about this a lot on the podcast, but it is, again, really big picture stuff. But, you know, I know that, you know, people email me and they like me talking about stuff like this because it gets the old cogs whirring. The study found that by automating charging of your car, you can minimize carbon impact by up to 14% on average across the US. Carbon reductions from automated EV charging could have a significant impact on reaching those carbon emissions goals and ultimately slowing climate change. While EV charging is the most obvious case, there are similar opportunities for savings with what they call large loads, things like laundry, the dishwasher, etc. Running it overnight, being incentivized to run it overnight, so your dishes are clean and your clothes are ready the next morning, and yet using the grid when it is underutilized. Using an automated approach, they say utilities can incentivize customers to reduce peak emissions. And we talked about this on the Saturday special last weekend with Graham Cooper from the National Grid about how something as simple as LED lights, when they in this country decided to move towards LEDs being on sale, then it took literally gigawatts or gigawatt hours of load off of our national grid. Just light bulbs. Just everybody changing their light bulbs to LED. Amazing, isn't it? And finally, let's talk about an Australian story which is connected to the last one, even though that was a US story. In Australia, a study of people in a focus group of EV drivers found that EV drivers were charging at peak times. And that has to change. The electric vehicle owners are opting to charge their vehicles at times of peak energy demand in the late afternoon when people are getting home from work, for instance. It's the worst time of the day in many countries. The grid curve is different in some places where there's a lot of solar. That does include Australia. A study by utilities giant Origin shows, says thedriven.io website. They say that the research shows there are a number of obstacles to getting EV users at home and in the workplace to invest in smart chargers, including cost and energy market literacy. And it says smart charging is essential. They say that in some ways, residential EV owners were behaving in a savvy manner. And that's because of the 70 EV owners in the study, 90% of them, so 9 out of 10 in Australia, have rooftop solar. Therefore, they were plugging their car in during the day to charge their EV. But they were leaving it plugged in. And then between 5 and 9, when it was less sunny and the grid was at its busiest, the cars were still charging. Now, Origin found there are a number of obstacles to the uptake of smart chargers. Residential EV owners are quite happy just to plug the car in to a regular power point. But if owners can foot the bill of smart charging, it'll really change the way that the grid works. And I've got a smart charger just waiting to go. I've got the My Energy Zappy 2. And our PV should be, we were looking at July, but maybe that's going to be put back a little bit. I need to chase it up. But our PV should be going on at least sometime this summer, ready for a full summer next year. And I can't wait. I can't wait for just leaving the car plugged in all day. And that, if you don't know about that technology, it's where any excess solar, whether it's 2 kilowatts or 5 kilowatts, that the house isn't using can then go towards the car. But it's dynamic. It's not a fixed amount. It's whatever is left over before you start, exporting to the grid. Or I was going to say heating your water. But I think the way we'll do it is heat water first, because we always want hot showers, then run the house. Or maybe it'll be run the house, then hot water. Then the excess to the EV would come last. But we can't wait to get that work done this year. We're so excited to make some content on the podcast and the YouTube channel about it. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. What's the best way to navigate an EV journey and charge on the way? Do you use a smartphone? Do you use the in-car nav system? What's best? Do you do it in advance or on the route? Let me know your thoughts. I'll read them out on Sunday. It's hello@evnewsdaily.com. Hey, thanks a lot to everyone checking out Patreon. Got a new exec producer to say the name of tomorrow as we welcome them. In the meantime, our premium partners are Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village of Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. And they had lots of interest over the XC40 recharge there, they were telling me. At nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com. Derek Riley and the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. And of course, emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.